Laudato Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Thursday, December the 19th, the Pope challenges everyone to carry a pocket-sized gospel with them. The UN dubs 2024 as recording the highest death toll of migrants in transit. But first, UNICEF reports about 40,000 children are in need of aid after a recent hurricane in Vanuatu. In the Vatican, I'm Kelsey Gussie. Following the catastrophic 7.3 magnitude earthquake Tuesday in the South Pacific island nation of Vanuatu, the UN Children's Fund has decried the disaster's impact on some 40,000 children and shed light on the humanitarian situation. Deborah Castellano-Luboff tells us more.
An estimated 40,000 children are in need of humanitarian assistance following the devastating 7.3 magnitude earthquake that hit Vanuatu, Oceania on the 17th of December and was followed by several major aftershocks. This disturbing figure was brought to light following the disaster in a statement of the UN Children's Fund, UNICEF. The island nation, located in Oceania's region of Melanesia, has a population of some 300,000 people. Located in the South Pacific, it is about 1,700 kilometers east of northern Australia. The nation's interim prime minister declared a state of emergency and requested international assistance. According to authorities, at least 14 deaths so far have been reported, with over 200 injured. Many buildings, including hospitals, have sustained damages. With landslides across the island, key roads and bridges connecting the airport and the main seaport are also reported to be severely damaged. Moreover, telecommunication networks in most areas are either down or intermittent. According to UNICEF Pacific's chief of the local field office, the immediate priority is to reach children and families with the life-saving support they need. He reminded that UNICEF is on the ground working with government, civil society organizations, and other development partners to support response efforts. As needs are confirmed, UNICEF noted, they will continue to support children and families with various life-saving interventions that include restoring water supply and distributing critical supplies. In addition, it will also continue to mobilize partners to provide access to safe water and hygiene, nutrition and health services, education, and child protection. UNICEF has already dispatched community first aid kits and is providing safe water to healthcare facilities. I'm Deborah Castellano-Luboff.
As the world marked International Migrants Day, Tunisia's Coast Guard recovered the bodies of 20 African migrants in the Mediterranean Sea. The news comes as a grim reminder of the deadliest year on record for migrants seeking a better life, as Devin Watkins reports.
International Migrants Day was marked on Wednesday near the end of the year, which has chalked up the highest number of migrants who have died during transit to other countries. According to the United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres, the rhetoric surrounding migrants only makes the situation worse for people seeking a better life. These challenges are made worse by the rising tide of mis- and disinformation and hate speech, he said, saying that it sows division and distorts the valuable contributions migrants are making each and every day. The Central Mediterranean route, which crosses the sea from Algeria, Egypt, Libya, and Tunisia to get to Italy and Malta, is the deadliest for migrants. Around 2,500 people died or went missing in 2023 attempting to cross in inflatable rafts or dinghies, according to the International Organization for Migration, or IOM. Amy Pope, IOM Director General, said International Migrants Day offers the world the opportunity to not only remember the many people who have died in transit, but also to highlight the invaluable contributions of millions of migrants around the world. She lamented the global factors that force people to leave their homes, including conflicts, climate-related disasters, and economic hardship. Ms. Pope said migrants also represent stories of resilience, progress, and hope, where safe and well-managed migration is made possible. The Catholic Church celebrates its own World Day of Migrants and Refugees every year on the last Sunday of September. This year marked the 110th edition and focused on the theme, God Walks with His People. In his message, Pope Francis reminded everyone that all people on earth are migrants, since we are journeying toward our heavenly homeland, the Kingdom of Heaven. Migrants' journeys of hope, said the Pope, remind us that our citizenship is in heaven, and it is from there that we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm Devin Watkins.
As artificial intelligence reshapes information, communication, and ultimately democratic processes, a group of international experts is preparing to release a global policy brief to help policymakers use AI responsibly. The main focus of the document, which will be unveiled at a summit in February in Paris, is to address the urgent global challenge posed by AI's role in elections. In an interview with Vatican Media, Catherine Regis, co-author of the document, noted that 2024 is considered the year of elections, with more nations heading to the polls than ever before in recent history, amid an increasing acknowledgement regarding the impact of AI in the democratic process. She reflects on the fragility of democracies under pressure and the need for a shared responsibility.
I think it's very true that we need to stand up and fight for our democracies. We have concrete evidence that, you know, they are facing challenges all around the world. They are pressures from autocracies as well. They organize together to really shake these systems. So I think it's true that we can certainly not take for granted that everything is fine. It's a complex system, democracy. It demands a lot. It requires a lot. It requires transparency, the capacity to discuss and make choices that make sense in a democracy. So it takes energy, but we all know it's worth it. And AI is just an extra layer of complexity that we add in this mix. So we know it's already fragile, but what if we have a very powerful tool that can do a lot for democracies, but also can really fragilize them even further? So we don't want to go there. It's not only a single reality. It's not only about me. It's not only about my country. It's about a global reality. So any sort of answer, action that we absolutely need to take needs to be not only make sense in our own realities, I need to make sure that as a person I can do something, as my country can do something, but we pull our resources together to make sure we have a global response. And the work that we've been doing this week with our policy brief is also targeting this national, but the need for an international action. And we can build on things that we already have. So it's all in the brief, but we have structures that we have worked hard to keep and to maintain and to nourish. So what about we just inject the expertise that we need in AI to make them even stronger to tackle this challenge?
With Christmas rapidly approaching, Pope Francis is once more expressing his closeness to the people of Ukraine, sending a gift of a mobile hospital and other medical supplies to the war-torn nation. Christopher Wells reports.
Pope Francis is once again demonstrating his closeness to the suffering people of Ukraine, sending Cardinal Konrad Krajewski to the country in the days ahead of Christmas. Every day, Pope Francis prays for peace in this war-torn country, reads a press release announcing the mission. But in a concrete way, he wants to be present among them in these days when we will celebrate the birth of Jesus. Cardinal Krajewski, the head of the Vatican's Dicastery for the Service of Charity, will bring with him a mobile hospital, a large camper van that can be used for surgeries, as well as 6 ultrasound scanners that will be donated to hospitals damaged in the war. The statement from the Dicastery notes that the papal almoner will visit various communities throughout Ukraine in order to meet with the people, aiming at opening the door of hope in their hearts and praying with them for the greatly longed-for peace. As head of the Pope's charitable works, Cardinal Krajewski has overseen various papal initiatives in favor of the Ukrainian people, including making numerous visits to the country. In August of this past year, the Dicastery organized a convoy of several trucks carrying food, baby food, personal hygiene products, clothing, medicine, and other necessities to the eastern region of Kharkiv, one of the areas hardest hit by the war. Earlier in June, Cardinal Krajewski was himself in Ukraine for a visit to the city of Ternopil, where he visited a cemetery. During that visit, his 7th to the country since Russia's invasion in 2022, the Cardinal brought medical supplies gifted by Pope Francis, including an ambulance equipped as a mobile intensive care unit, as well as essential and life-saving medicines from the Vatican Pharmacy and the Pharmacy of Rome's Gemelli Hospital. I'm Christopher Wells.
Human Rights Watch has accused Israel of committing acts of genocide in Gaza by deliberately depriving Palestinian civilians of adequate access to water. It says Israel's actions include intentionally damaging water and sanitation infrastructure. The campaign group says this has probably caused thousands of deaths, which it says is also tantamount to committing the crime against humanity of extermination. Israel rejected the report as propaganda. Welcoming Italian pilgrims from the Camino de Santiago in Spain, Pope Francis commented on the fact the number of pilgrims to Compostela has grown in the last 30 years. He recalled that two of the more well-known pilgrims were his predecessors, Pope John Paul II and Benedict XVI. In 1982, the Polish Pope became the first pontiff to travel to the Apostle James's tomb. And 28 years later, Pope Benedict XVI made the same journey. Yet, as Francesca Merlo reports, in the meeting, Pope Francis reflected on whether people truly embark on a pilgrimage in Santiago.
In his audience with the pilgrims, Pope Francis acknowledged the positive aspect of the increase in the number of pilgrims visiting Compostela and the tomb of St. James. But he posed the question whether people walk the Camino de Santiago as a true pilgrimage.
Il numero dei pellegrini verso Santiago in questi ultimi 30 anni.
The Pope pointed out the three signs that define a Christian pilgrimage. The first is silence. Walking in silence allows one to listen. To listen with the heart, he said, and to find, as we walk, the answers that the heart seeks. The second sign is the gospel, or as the Pope put it, always having the gospel in your pocket. Reading and rereading the scriptures is what makes a pilgrimage. A pilgrimage is truer and all the more Christian when the pilgrim gives of themselves to others.
Avere sempre in tasca il Vangelo.
For the third sign, Pope Francis coined the term Matthew 25 protocol. This is taken from the gospel passage that reads, "Whatever you did for one of these least brothers of mine, you did for me." The message behind this, the Pope stressed, is the need to pay attention to what others need or to those who are struggling. Pope Francis ended his reflection by encouraging the pilgrims in their apostolate of care and evangelization. He described how pilgrims in ancient times teach us, who complete Christian pilgrimages, to return as apostles. And during this Advent season of waiting, the Pope placed the Holy Family of Nazareth, pilgrims, he said, in the land of Palestine, as an example for everyone. I'm Francesca Merlo.
35 children have been killed in a crush at an event in the southwest Nigerian region of Ibadan, with six others hospitalized. The event was advertised as free entry and drew a large crowd. So many people were present that a crush ensued as they struggled to gain entry. Residents said that over 5,000 children had gathered at the venue, and the crush occurred when the main organizers arrived to start the event. The sequence of events leading to the crush has not yet been disclosed. The police say they have arrested eight people who were behind the event, including the main organizer, Naomi Sikaluknuna, a well-known figure in the city. And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, please do visit our website at www.vaticannews.va. And you can also catch the latest updates on our Facebook, X, and Instagram pages. Many thanks go to Gustavo Messina in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Kelsey Gussie.